and welcome to Aldi's Mamia and Me podcast. I'm Jen Hogan, and this month we have a very special episode, and one I think you'll be particularly interested in as a mother or father in Ireland today. There is no doubt that being a parent is one of the most fulfilling, rewarding, and aside from the occasional tantrum, enjoyable experiences in life. But it is a job, and probably one of the only ones that comes without a how-to manual. So, on this episode, we take stock on what mums and dads are telling us, where they feel the pressure points are day to day, and what we can do as a society to recognise and acknowledge their role in today's Ireland. The episode was recorded at Molly, the Museum of Literature Ireland, and I was joined by a fantastic panel of guests, comedian, podcaster and dad Jarlett Regan, influencer Aldi Ambassador and mum of three Kaz Mooney, and Bernie Coyne of Coyne Research, who carried out the Mammies and Daddies report. It's this report that we all sat down to discuss, and as you'll hear shortly, it has some fascinating and revealing insights into what it means to be a parent in Ireland today. Jarlett and Kaz brought their insights to some of the standout figures from Bernie's report. There are some damning statistics for men, most of them unsurprising to women perhaps, around how mothers and fathers prioritise childcare, housework and careers. We learned that significantly more mothers than fathers find it challenging to meet societal standards of good parenting. Both mothers and fathers noted that their physical and mental health have suffered after having children. And almost two-thirds of parents have been impacted financially after having kids. And more than four in five parents are spending less than 10% of their time per week on hobbies and personal pastimes. These were just some of the standout findings. So let's go to our panel now and hear what they have to say about Irish parenting today.
Makes for pretty grim reading, that report, doesn't it? Bernie, thanks a million for that. That was great to see all the statistics. But I don't know, were you shocked, Kaz?
Yeah, there's a few shockers in there for sure.
Which one in particular caught you?
The mental health side, I think, is a little surprising. I wasn't so surprised about the physical health, because there's a lot of, you know, factors that come in with parenthood.
And the time and everything, And I'm going to have to ask you about the physical health in a second, Jarlett, because I know I see you're a Running Man podcast and stuff, and you make me just feel like totally lazy, to be honest, looking at that. But I want to, I suppose, when you're talking about time there and things, Kaz, and we know the Easter holidays are coming up, and I'm looking into the next 2 weeks, kind of dreading it, if I'm honest. You know, it should be that downtime. It should be, oh, great, we don't have school lunches. We don't have the usual rushing and fussing and all that sort of stuff to do. Instead, I'm going, I will have to work and I will have to try to mind, stroke, neglect my children at the exact same time. Is that something that is coming your way?
Yeah, it's probably the hardest part about working and juggling childcare all at once is that time off for the kids, but you don't have time off. It's so difficult, for sure.
And what about you, Jarlett? Is it something that you'll have to work around? Is Tina
There's just so much in this report that is kind of damning for men in general. That, you know, the kind of paradigm shift that has yet to happen with men in terms of their part, their role, and the things that are expected of them. And even the hobbies thing, as you brought up, is just like the compromising of your hobbies as a man doesn't seem to come up straight away. It doesn't seem to be a thing that men are willing to do as much as women are. Uh-huh. And because we make a podcast, if people don't know, my wife and I make a podcast called Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. And it's where people anonymously email my wife and I. Now, I'm a comedian, so my knowledge of children is based on my one kid. But Tina's been working in childcare and severe behavioural issues for the last 20-odd years. The anonymous emails that come in reflect what's in this report. People feeling like they've nowhere to go, no help to be found, and also the societal pressure of trying to live up.
Up to the expectations.
So I just read it all, and I can't help but frame it in what we've seen over the last 2 years of this podcast. And some of the emails that come in are heartbreaking, because the reason they're emailing a free podcast is because they can't afford to get professional help. So it's great that your podcast and this survey will hopefully kickstart the conversation.
Hopefully kickstart. And I would like to thank you for offering yourself up as the sacrificial lamb for an hour. Yeah, yeah. So that we can, yeah. we can go after.
From there. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Bernie, did you find, like, when you were conducting the research, I mean, again, I'm so focused on what's coming up, and I'm sure all parents of children under a certain age are looking at the holidays that are coming up and this idea of juggling childcare. And I know it was mentioned that parents said that they would feel, I suppose, if there was more state-supported childcare, they would feel maybe better able to manage the demands that are on them. But were you surprised that such a high percentage are minding their children and working at the same time?
I'm astonished as an employer of you know, the fact that I have staff that work from home. I think it's very challenging that, you know, that parents have to work and mind their children at the same time, because they're under pressure from work on its own, never mind trying to look after children. So I think that's really mentally taxing, physically taxing. I thought that figure was astonishingly high.
Is it a fallout from the podcast, like, or the podcast, the pandemic even? Is it a fallout? You know, we thought this working from home is great, and don't get me wrong, I don't know that I could manage to work without the flexibility of working from home sometimes and working, having to go into the office or studio, wherever else it is that I'm working. I don't know that I could manage it. But have we now just expected people to do both at the same time?
I think parents expect themselves to do both. Back before the pandemic, you would never have dreamt it would be that high. Never. Certainly, my kids are all older. I would never have tried to do the two. But nowadays, you've got parents that are expected to do it. So I think that's really challenging.
I think even, like, I was thinking, you know, with the 2 weeks coming up, and we're talking about physical health and, you know, the impact that that parenting has, that negative impact that it has on your physical health. And I am the least active, like, well, in terms of planned activities, you know, like you're running around after the kids, but I'm the least active person I know. And I feel this huge guilt. And I took a little bit of solace from going, Jesus, there's loads of others who aren't able, it's not that they're not able to, maybe some don't because they're tired and there's perhaps other reasons for them. Maybe it's just that we're so squeezed in time. Gerald, I'm looking at you. Why are men still managing to fit it in and we're not?
I think one thing that's missing from the report is the biggest problem here, and that's the kids. none of us would be in this situation if these kids would just take care of themselves a little bit more. Everyone's feeling squeezed, but it's not in there, Bernie. If these kids were a little more independent. I've been really shocking to find out some people found that having kids had a positive impact on their finances. Like, I'm like, who are these people? Are these people actually putting their kids out to work? Is that what it is? He's bringing in great cash. I mean, some of the findings are really astonishing.
Yeah.
And then not surprising when you think about them at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think you hit on something there about post-pandemic.
Yeah.
That everyone was made go home and learn to do it while spinning the plate of work. And oftentimes, the husband's work wasn't to be interrupted by childcare. And I felt at that time, and certainly my wife and I witnessed this, that there was a regression in terms of those roles, in terms of the team and the share. That it was like, well, my job can't. Sure, I wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't have me here. I would have been away. You know, there was a slight regression to your work can be interrupted, mine can't. And when it comes to hobbies, I feel like that's it. Like if we're examining the hobbies that men are into, like I'm not being facetious here, but like golf was designed to be the longest version of hobby you could find. Like, why is anybody running marathons? Why can't you just run the 5K on the Saturday?
Why indeed?
Marathons, like 42 kilometers. Like, who needs this? Like, that's 3.5 hours long run on a Sunday, and then I need 3.5 hours to recover from the long run. Like, all jokes aside, the team element seems to have been eroded. I don't know if people listening to this would agree with me, but the figures certainly bear out a depressing side to this of moms feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything positive comes from this, and fair play to Aldi for doing this, hopefully it starts some thought on the part of the dads.
Because I think you're dead right. I think if it starts, it perhaps encourages dads to consider that, because I think we were aware of it, weren't we, Cass? For most women reading that report, you're not going to be shocked. You're not going to be surprised to see, maybe surprised in the fact that, you're not alone, but not surprised by the findings, the fact that our physical health has deteriorated, the fact that so many people, and so many women in particular, would say that their mental health has deteriorated.
Yeah, I think a lot of women are trying to squish everything into their day, so trying to do the childcare. They have maybe massive career ambitions that they're trying to fit into their day. So they're probably working far longer days in a way, because you're getting interrupted and you're spreading out your work. I mean, I know so many people are up working past the kids going to bed, and then you may have kids not even sleeping, so that's going to have an effect as well. I know myself, that's the case for sure. And it makes it all very difficult then. You're spinning so many plates. Yeah. And so the last thing that you're going to look after is yourself, unfortunately.
The sleep-deprived delirium, I know it well, that kind of energy that you're running on, just the kind of slight mania that's happening because you're so sleep-deprived and you're trying to keep going on that. And you can just imagine the drain that is on mental health. Jarlett, I think you were so right about that regression into certain roles. And I know anecdotally from speaking to parents, a lot of mothers would say they were the ones who stepped back during the pandemic. Mm. They were the ones who either went part-time or took time off work, or gave up work completely when trying to manage remote learning and trying to manage taking care of the children, trying to manage what was quite a terrifying situation at one stage as well, and trying to manage all those family pressures and let daddy work in peace in the office, because, otherwise he'd be away. It's going to take a bit of a societal shift, though, isn't it, to try and turn that mindset around?
It will, but, these things, a bit like gender balance, it doesn't happen accidentally. An effort needs to be made to redress the balance, to make things change. I know that some of the findings that Bernie has here really brought me back to 2013, when my wife and I were forced to emigrate to the UK. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we had Troika in, the country was on its knees economically, and it felt, as a new parent, every single week, something would come in that needed €1,000.
Yeah.
And whatever it was, it always seemed to round up to €1,000 is needed for this thing. And we're just like, we can't live here.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to be in Bernie's findings. This stuff is driving people out of the country. That is a fact. Because when you find yourself in London and you're like, hold on, I don't have to pay for the doctor. I don't have to pay for meds. And also, and Tina, my wife, found this, there's so much support. There's so many activities that are arranged for moms not to feel, or parents not to feel alone. And in this kind of mire of how am I going to do this? The side of that, I have to say, that I identified with was a very tough time for me as a dad, which, again, the dads aren't the victims in this, I get that. But the loneliness of being a dad is something that, again, men can't talk about. We can push through it. You're going to be tougher. But your single male friends, non-dad friends, head for the hills when your child arrives. And I'm not the only dad that's experienced that. They scarper. And you're like, who are my friends now? Who do I talk to about this? And maybe that's something that, parents can bond over too, because I know that moms have that as well with their single friends.
That is a huge thing, because we do have those conversations, and we do have those conversations about mums feeling lonely. And okay, maybe we don't have anywhere near the supports that we want, but the mothers, parent and toddler groups, as they're referred to now, but they're still typically very gender heavy. There's still very much mums at these groups, and there's the mums reaching out online, there's the mums reaching out on the parenting websites, all these different, if it's online support, if you can't get the real life support, you're searching for it, and we actively search for it. And I was a little bit embarrassed earlier when we were having a conversation beforehand, saying I feel kind of lonely sometimes. I have 7 children, I'm never off the hamster wheel of work, I miss people. I talk to people all day as part of work, and yet I miss having that.
Yeah, and there's kind of a shame associated
there
with that,
is,
where they're like,
yeah,
you wanted to be a mother.
Yeah.
You should be happy with it. Isn't this what you always wanted? And it's like, it's such nonsense.
It is. It's like, well, you got what you wanted, you know, exactly as you said. But in saying all that, I don't think most dads would feel comfortable having that conversation. Are you going to turn around and over a pint if they haven't run to the hills, if you can rein them back in for a few minutes and go, you know what?
Or
I'm lonely, you know?
Yeah, or even talking to other dads, are you actually going to go, who here feels lonely? Like, you're not going to do it.
Where that is, I suppose, the gift of maybe being a woman, you do feel that little bit more comfortable.
To an extent, right? I mean, the activities that I remember witnessing in England that weren't here were things like, something that I took part in was BYOB stand-up comedy shows. 11 o'clock in the morning, comedians, like well-known TV comics, are going to these centres and performing their stand-up for moms and babies on their changing mats. And, I mean, it was absolutely glorious. First of all, because it was like, for the comics, it was like a test of strength. Like, if you could do your stuff while babies are crying, it was like a real badge of honor. And I knew other comics that went on stage with their stroller and performed their stand-up while trying to get their kid to sleep. There just seems to be, and maybe it is an Irish thing, a bit like the housing crisis. It's like, well, what do you expect? There's a little bit of that here, I feel. It's like, what do you want? You're a mom. It's not going to be all roses. It's like, I think that attitude needs to change as much as what do you expect? A big house, you need to be earning $500,000 to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Bernie, there was, I suppose, some good news in that. And actually, even, I suppose, if we change along with what Giarlis just said there, this idea, we've got the 22% saying that their mental health has improved since becoming a parent, but we also have people going, what did you expect? In my day, we didn't have whatever. We have the two of those things. How do you get to be that 22% whose mental health has improved versus looking backwards instead?
I mean, I think it's consistent. We saw, like, because we didn't ask the question, why do you feel more positive? But there's a lot of consistency across the questions. You know, the question that asked about the negative impact, the financial negative impact. So we had a third that said, no, it didn't have any impact or it had a positive impact.
Yeah.
Then you've got that fifth that say, you know, it's had a positive impact on mental health, on physical health. So I think there is a consistent cohort that have embraced parenthood, find it really positive, mentally, physically, financially. Why? I don't know.
I would think support is the dividing line there, because if you've not got someone to help you get sleep, what hope do you have to have a positive mental outlook on this thing, or to even feel like this is fun? There's a great book that I always recommend about parenting called All Joy, No Fun. And it just, I think that phrase itself captures so much that it's so joyful. Mm-hmm. But where's the crack? Sometimes the crack gets lost in it.
How are these 22% finding the crack?
I don't know. It's funny. I often think kids, they're wondrous at, you know, just when you're about to go mad, they are suddenly really cute and are able to, it's a survival instinct, I think, it kicks in. But yeah, I think it must be support. I really do. They must be maybe in some sort of support network, whether it is adopted or family, and possibly have taken control of finances and things as well as they approached family. Having a family, that quite often happens. I see it a lot with what I do. A lot of the time people are coming to me as they are about to have a new family member. And so I think sometimes that can help mentally as well, even just to see how they want to progress with goals and things like that. I don't know. I suppose everybody approaches these kind of challenges differently as well.
I think there is something in what you said there, though, about that just when you're about to go mad, you know, that I've dropped the car keys down the loo and I've peed on the floor, but I love you, Mummy, and that dress is nice. There's a meme goes around of it, and you just know that they can just kind of turn it around. But it is
crazy.
Those moments in between, those moments in between, there's a chance. We did see one really nice statistic, which was great to see. The 56% of people felt that family relationships had improved. What do you, like, what would you put that down to, or did you get any indication?
Yeah, if you go back to, it's interesting the point that was made earlier, but if you go back to the school holidays, half of them were not taking time off, but a quarter said they rely on family.
Yeah.
So I think it's linked, and I think it's what you said, that there's a greater support network. But 56% said, yeah, it had a positive impact on family. Mm. So I think it's grandparents, it's the wider family, it's brothers and sisters, it's, you know, that's all positive.
The active involvement.
It's kind of funny that some of them were like, no impact. Like, a new human being showed up. No impact at all.
Just, but I would...
It's like getting a new bike. What's wrong?
I can tell you, actually, there was a bit of that now when I had the seventh. Oh, no, there was. There was elements of it.
Yeah, sure. Depends how many of them there is.
That was probably my family. And so they're my extended family. Would you see it, Cass?
Yeah.
Would you see that?
Like, my relationship with my mum completely changed when I became a mother. Like, you suddenly realise why they made decisions, you know, that you thought were crazy when you were a teenager. And then even with my grandparents, you know, you develop a completely different relationship with your entire family. You can, like, even your father, your mother, like, it just completely changes. And I used to hear people saying that. And then when I had my own kids, I was like, oh, my God.
You get it now.
I can't believe it. And you nearly have to bite your tongue, you know, your mum would be reminding you, see, that's why I...
Or taking a little bit of pleasure, you know, when you're one of your own kids, just
I remember you doing that.
That's kind
I
of
always hard. Said you'd have that for a child.
Karma's great. Is there hope for us, so, Jarlett, do you think? Are our own kids going to one day look back and go, he was a cool dad, she was a cool mom. Is that coming?
No, I definitely think that isn't it cyclical, that thing of, like, I talk about it in my current stand-up show, that I went 30 years thinking my parents were negligent. Then I had a child, the dust settled, and I realised, no, these kids that we're having right now are pretty good kids compared to what we were at all those years ago. Like, everyone had a cast. People were covered in bruises, and we were jumping from tree to tree. What do these kids want? More screen time. I mean, they're not bad kids, which ironically is actually no use for comedy. You actually need a brat to write some jokes about. But like, one thing that stood out was the people that were willing to sacrifice the little treats in the shop, which again relates to Aldi. That you know, there were people that said they didn't sacrifice treats. I thought that was really interesting. Like, who is not denying themselves something in favor of their kid, right? My wife said that she said she didn't know her parents liked chocolate until she was a grown-up, because they had never bought it for themselves. Yeah. They would never allow it, because it was just, well, we'll get whatever the kids want. That was quite interesting to me. Everybody is making sacrifices for their kids. But like you say, it's probably going to take 30 years until my little son realizes, oh, yeah, that was a
sacrifice.
€1,000
That's what mom and dad were doing. The idea of sacrificing things, I mean, do we not need the treats to get through? Is this like not a real... the idea that parents need to do it, and yet, I suppose the way I'd kind of view it, is it something that parents feel they have to do, they absolutely have to do? What do you hear?
I think it's mostly necessity, to be honest. And even with the best budget in the world, there's going to be times where you have to prioritise your kids. Like, it's just part of being a parent, you know? And, you know, sometimes that means deciding you're not going to have chocolate that week or whatever your little treats are. But where I try to come in is to try and budget in such a way that you can have those treats every week, and you can find ways to make life a little easier, because at the end of the day, that's going to mean you get to stick to your goals. You're going to stay saving. You're going to stay trying to save money. Mm. But it is unavoidable sometimes. And, you know, some of these treats might be little, and some of them might cost more, like getting your hair done, going for a cup of coffee with a friend. And unfortunately, as we can see in the survey, like that's a lot of that is what's got cut out. There's a lot of that now, like a lot of people not communicating with their partner about money and not communicating with their kids as well. And like that can make life even harder. You know, you really need that support network. You need to be, you know, on the same page, working together, ideally. And when you bring your kids along the journey, I'm not saying like get out the bank account, show them the exact figures, but give them an idea on like what you're doing, why, you know, we're not spending money on this week because we want to put money towards a holiday, or we want to spend time doing something else. And sharing that you're saving for things really helps them to understand the principles of finances and budgeting and, you know, learning about how to handle their own money. Because a lot of the financial struggles we have nowadays is through a lack of communication that we had.
But I think just the mundanity of homework, helping the home, sharing the tasks. Like you saw some evidence there that it isn't rocket science, but it is about a team. Jared, you talked about a team. I think it is about, you know, women advocating for themselves as mothers and advocating that homework is shared, household chores are shared, or that there's help in the house, you know, that it's
not just your area.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You bring up the homework.
And there he goes, he got on the panel.
I just think we need to get rid of homework for primary school.
Absolutely.
Completely. And like, that's not to say get rid of homework altogether. A long form task that needs to be completed in 3 weeks is much more reflective of what life looks like. Go for your life in secondary school, but the amount of rows that it's creating and the amount of anxiety and upsetment, and also kind of just like not enjoying school because you've been battered over the head to do more work on the way
changes home. Changes their attitude to school. It's quite incredible. I'm totally with you on that. Like, that's my goal
it's a separate,
in life.
Separate episode, though,
a total separate episode and a total campaign. And actually, I reckon everybody's mental health, physical health.
Yeah. Well, Michael D's on board.
Everything.
So.
We got the president on board now. We got to work on the t-shirt. Were you surprised, Bernie, about the 83% of that the statistic was quite so high that people were making sacrifices? Because it's a really shocking statistic in terms of how high it is.
Not at all. No. We do a lot of research for Aldi, and actually what Aldi's famous for is affordable luxuries. Yeah. People who shop in Aldi talk about all these little treats that they can afford. So they're sacrificing. They're being canny with their money. They're not, you know, going over their budget, but they've got access to these little luxuries. So I'm not really surprised, no, that people claim they make sacrifices for the little luxuries because they try workarounds. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about with Aldi. So they're not buying, you know, the expensive chocolates, but they'll buy something in Aldi that is a substitute, you know, because they don't want to spend too much money.
Which often tastes just as nice.
Yes.
When we talk about, I mean, some of the things that were also looked at, also both under the existing relationship, but even navigating society expectations and stuff. And there was that statistic, which again you shared with us, Bernie, that half of women and one in four men say becoming a parent had a negative impact on their career. I suppose we have that the flip side of it, that is that men are the ones who feel more of the societal pressures and more expectations around their career. They feel much more. They feel a pressure to meet career expectations much more so than women do. Does that surprise you?
Well, look, it's the other side of the sword, isn't it? That, you know, making more time for my job and don't interrupt or get in the way of my job. If there's a problem at the school, don't ring him, ring her. Like, there's two parents. Like, the other side of that is that if we want the big holiday, the guy or the person who's earning more is going to feel the pressure to provide it. You know, societal pressure, though, is a very unusual and more wide question, because doesn't it relate to well, what does the individual see societal pressure as? And that varies, right? Depends on your upbringing. It depends on, you know, what you saw. Some people don't see a societal pressure, whereas others really do. Or they're in a family where loads of the family have kids, and they're all brilliant with them, and you're flying blind and getting it all wrong. And again, to come back to our podcast, When You're Ruining Our Kid, most of the emails are about that, that like, I feel like I'm getting it wrong. How do I steer the ship right? And that kind of advice and strategies on that, on the basics, the kind of atomic level of parenting, I think that needs to be more freely available.
It's that one job, I suppose, you don't want to mess up. And maybe that's why we're so hard on ourselves and we're always comparing. You know, as I say, comparison's the thief of joy, but you're constantly comparing. 100%. How am I doing in my career versus such and such a person, and how is he doing, and how come they can manage this, and how come we can't manage that? And, you know, obviously nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors, and maybe social media here, even yourself, Kaz, that has a role to play, isn't it? Doesn't it, around those societal expectations?
Yeah, for sure, because when you share something online, you suddenly have a load of people telling you whether or not you did that right or wrong, or I would do this or I would do that. And sometimes it's not, you weren't looking for advice. Thanks. But yeah, like, I'm lucky. I don't really share too much of my kids online, so that makes it so much easier. But I think even like sharing personally with friends and family, and it can be difficult, because it's even the unheard comments that you're worrying about. It's not necessarily the messages you did get. It's the ones you didn't get, and you're thinking, oh. And even when you meet with friends and family, and you're, you know, especially say when you have a toddler, and you're looking at maybe your friend's toddler is walking and yours isn't yet, and all of that, like, that all puts so much pressure. And like,
and again,
they all
the kid themselves
get there.
Yeah, they all get there. But again, the kid themselves, not in a report. These kids are creating a lot of problems.
Yeah. For us. Yeah. Yeah.
We need to get the kids in here.
You
get them answerable.
One,
yeah. These kids need to raise their game. I think that's what we're learning. Yeah.
It is interesting, though, isn't it, Brenny, to see this kind of flip here, where it's the men feeling that particular pressure more, especially in light of the fact that it's women's careers that are impacted more, certainly is perceived to be impacted more.
Yeah, I think that statistic is probably one of the starkest of the whole lot, that only one in four men think parenthood has negatively impacted their career, but half of women. That, to me, is the double bind that women feel.
Yeah.
So it's not just about don't phone the man, he's at work. It's the fact that the mother feels that they should be there for the kid. Yeah. I think it's a double bind. It's the fact they feel they always got to show up, or most of the time show up. And that's the challenge with work and being a mother and spinning plates and all of this. I think that's... So, like, how do women progress if half of them, their career's been negatively impacted? How did they move up through the ranks being a parent, yet only a quarter of the men? So, I mean, that is a societal thing. And that's, you know, that's got ramifications across the board. It's not just...
I remember being pregnant with my very first child, and it actually being said to me, I hope you're not going to have this baby and get somebody else to rear it. I bet you never heard that, Charlotte. Or did you? Sorry.
No. Well, you see, the beauty of my job is that I work mad hours, right? I travel a lot. But, you know, I get how luxurious it is to be able to... I wake up and I get to have breakfast with my son. I get to bring him to school, I pick him up afterwards. I get to do bedtime. When we were in England, I then buzz off and do a show.
Yeah.
Like, mine is not the typical situation. But there's plenty of people that work unusual hours like that. Even on the drive in here, though, I was talking to my wife about the daily stuff that men aren't seeing. They're not seeing the place that they could jump in. That, like, that dishwasher is not her job. That is not her responsibility. You don't see that this clothes are being hung out. And why is that? And, like, I think that just the constant sense of improvement, the need to improve, and men internalizing that idea, the fathers in this survey certainly internalizing the idea that I can play a bigger part, and it won't take much. It's not talking about changing my hours, flipping my life upside down. It's just stepping up. Again, not to keep going back to my current show, but I do say in it that I feel like all women would really like from the men in their lives is for them to try a little bit harder.
Yeah, learn to work the washing machine. That would be a big start. That would be really I'm just thinking of Tina here now and how amazing it's going to be now because he's aware that the washer needs to go out and the dishwasher.
I sounded terrible there.
This is great. Yeah. No, it's fantastic because you're now going to do all these things and we will all send everybody
watch
social media.
That.
See that he loads the dishwasher and, and hangs the washer now. Do you think as women, Kaz, when we hear this sort of thing though, I mean, we're flipping it over because we are talking a lot about the impacts that women are feeling. But if men are feeling this pressure to live up to career expectations, that sometimes the fact that we push each other, or maybe we don't even do it deliberately, the fact that we just default into this kind of gender role a little bit and this expectation that the women are taking on so much of other responsibilities, have we ever really considered the flip side of it?
We possibly don't. I think there is a massive pressure on men to bring in the wage for the family. And I think it can be equally as hard on them mentally, even if they didn't admit it in the report as much. I think like it's part of human nature, you know, that a lot of men just feel like they need to bring in the wage, support the family through, you know, this new financial difficult time of bringing in this family member. And whether that's right or wrong, I think that conversation maybe should be had. And maybe this is a great opener for that conversation to be had in that family. Because often the women are, you know, have their own career and they're bringing in their own money. And if there was that shared childcare, that shared support, that shared helping to clean the house, it may mean that they both can progress and do equally well and have the support of each other as well. So they maybe can do even better in each other's careers.
It's more old school thinking though, isn't it? It's like from that male perspective that if your family isn't doing well and hasn't quite bought the house yet, they aren't looking to the wife and mother going, sort your shit out.
That's wrong.
Sort it out.
It's eyes are on you because of the
old school sense and the fact that our country has evolved, but just not quite there yet on some of these things. And sometimes it can just be the older generation, that you're feeling an older generation vibe, that you know, your father, your uncles or whoever are like, geez, I had a house when I was 25.
Yeah.
Well, let's all get in the time machine and go back there.
It goes back to that thing again, doesn't it? That constant, well, in my day it was worse, or that comparison again, not necessarily helping anybody. Bernie, anything that surprised you there?
I think the question about what society sees you as a parent, and that was mothers. So I just looked at females and a third of them said, you know, that it was negative. So I think it's mothers putting themselves under pressure to be these super mums, to do everything with the kids, the babies, what they feed them.
Yeah, I mean, and then they turned out immaculately.
Yeah, I mean, all this pressure. My youngest is 21. I mean, when I see mothers nowadays, I just think, oh my God, the pressure they're under. And the statistics say that. One in three feel negative about what society see them as a mum. So I don't think it's necessarily the house, the material things. I think it's that pressure to raise this perfect child.
Thank you so much, Bernie, Kaz and Jarlett, for joining me for what proved to be a fascinating discussion. If you'd like to learn more about the Mammies and Daddies report, there's a link in the show notes. And as always, if you're a fan of this podcast, please share and like and help spread the word. Finally, for more on all our episodes, you can get in touch and find out more at aldi.ie/mammia.